Trusting God's wisdom is not something that comes naturally to us. We are wired to trust what we can see, measure, and control, yet Proverbs chapter 3 invites us into a very different way of living, one where we set aside our own understanding and rest fully in the Lord's plans for our lives. This chapter was written by Solomon, a father passing down hard-won lessons to his own children and, by extension, to all of us. He begins with something simple but easy to forget. He tells his son not to let go of God's teaching, but to keep it close, written on the heart rather than tucked away as a rule to remember on occasion. Proverbs 3 verses 1 through 4 tell us that keeping God's commands in our hearts brings long life, peace, and prosperity. Solomon adds two more virtues we are never to let slip away: love and faithfulness. He says to bind them around our neck and write them on the tablet of our heart, language that paints a picture of something worn close to the body, something that cannot be misplaced. A believer cannot walk in love without also loving their neighbor, and cannot claim faithfulness while drifting from the things of God. 1 Corinthians 13 echoes the same idea centuries later, reminding us that even the greatest gifts amount to nothing without love. Faith, hope, and love remain, and the greatest of these is love. Verses 5 and 6 hold what might be the most familiar words in this whole chapter. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Trusting God's wisdom means admitting that our understanding has limits we cannot see past. We are not all-knowing, but God is. He knows the future the way we know the past. So when this verse says not to lean on our own understanding, it is not asking us to abandon good judgment. It is asking us to submit our judgment to Him first, acknowledging Him in every decision, large or small, before we ever take a step. John 15 verse 5 puts it plainly. Apart from Him we can do nothing. Trying to walk this life without submitting our plans to God is a path filled with worry, because it is only He who can direct our steps toward something good. Verses 7 and 8 warn us not to be wise in our own eyes. Instead, we are told to fear the Lord and turn away from evil. There is a sharp contrast built into this instruction. All our own wisdom, all our understanding, requires nothing of us but pride. Fearing the Lord, on the other hand, costs us something. It asks us to be humble. This fear is not the kind that pushes us away from God. It is a healthy reverence and awareness of who He is and who we are not. Solomon says this brings health to the body and nourishment to the bones, a picture of wholeness that touches both the physical and the spiritual. In verses 9 and 10, Solomon shifts to something practical: our wealth. He tells us to honor God with our wealth and the first fruits of all our crops, promising that our barns will overflow and our vats will brim with new wine. This is not really about money. It is about worship. Wealth is something valuable that God has entrusted to us, something we can use to honor Him or something we can quietly turn into an idol. Whatever we have, whether it is money, time, talent, or knowledge, giving it back to God is an act of worship that honors Him. Ephesians 2 verse 10 reminds us that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works He prepared in advance for us to do. Verses 11 and 12 turn to something we rarely want to talk about: discipline. Solomon tells his son not to despise the Lord's discipline and not to resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, just as a father disciplines the child in whom he delights. Hebrews 12 verse 6 confirms the same truth. God loves us enough to correct us. Knowing why He disciplines us, out of love rather than anger, changes how we receive it. Think of David, who faced real consequences after his sin with Bathsheba, or Samson, whose choices led him far from the calling God had for him. Discipline, though painful, is often the very thing that turns us back toward the path we were meant to walk. The chapter closes in verses 13 through 18 with a blessing over those who find wisdom and gain understanding, because wisdom is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and nothing we desire can compare to her. James 1 verse 5 tells us how to get it. If any of us lacks wisdom, we should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to us. Wisdom cannot be earned through human effort alone, because true wisdom comes from above. When Solomon himself asked God for wisdom instead of riches, God gave it to him abundantly, along with the very things he did not ask for. Trusting God's wisdom, in the end, is what every believer is called to pursue. Her ways are pleasant and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and those who hold her fast are blessed. For more devotionals rooted in Scripture, visit us at walkingwiththelord.net, and for encouragement in marriage and family life, visit blissfullywedded.com.